Welcome to this week's Connect Group Teaching, and we're going to continue to explore the spiritual practices together. And you may be wondering, how many are there of these practices? Well, we're going to explore these practices for 4 more weeks, looking at different things. Bible study, we've done Bible reading, but we're going to go a little bit deeper as to what it means to actually study the text of the Bible and apply that to our lives. What does it mean to study our Bibles? Then we're going to look at fellowship. Being together, growing together in our faith. What does that look like? What does it mean? Why is it a spiritual discipline? And then we're going to explore something that I think is really important for our day and age, something we see in the life of Jesus, which is simplicity. But this week, we're going to be diving into the whole area of spiritual fasting, something that we have done in different ways as a church every January for the last few years, where we've taken 21 days to fast. But what exactly is fasting? And why is it considered a spiritual discipline? Well, this week we're going to do things a little bit differently. Instead of one of us just presenting the information to you, we're going to have a little conversation. In a few minutes, I'm going to have a conversation with one of our elders, David, and I'm going to ask him questions about his regular practice of fasting. But before that, I just want to give us something of an introduction to fasting so we're all kind of on the same page, so we understand, biblically speaking, what fasting is. Well, biblically speaking, fasting is always about food. We see complete fasts where someone stops eating and sometimes even drinking, but more commonly it's around fasting food. And for some, it may be a meal or a type of food. For others, it's a longer period of time. We see Jesus fasting for 40 days. For others, it's smaller portions of time, but for different reasons. Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted to seek God's wisdom in Acts 14. In Judges 20, after losing 40,000 men in battle in 2 days, the Israelites cry out to God for his help. And it says that all the people sat weeping before the Lord. They also fasted that day until the evening. And then we see the next day, the Lord gives them victory over the enemy. So fasting can also be about gaining victory over the enemy. Luke 2 tells us this fantastic story of this amazing 84-year-old woman named Anna, who used fasting as an act of worship to God. We also then see, as I've just mentioned, Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, fasting and praying before he took on the tempter. And we see that although he was hungry and he was physically weak, we see that actually he was spiritually stronger because of the experience of prayer and fasting. So we see that it can give us a spiritual strength as we reduce the dependency our body has upon food and these other things. It's interesting that when Jesus teaches into the spiritual disciplines in Matthew 6, he only mentions 3 of them. And they're giving to the poor, prayer, and fasting. He mentions these 3, I think, because they were so important to the life of the Jewish believers. And also they would have been important to Jesus. Jesus grew up a Jew. These practices were important to him. And so Jesus gives guidance on these practices. And regarding fasting, in Matthew 6:16, he says, "When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." Verse 17 goes on, "But when you fast, put oil in your hair and wash your face so that it won't be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Really interesting. But when Jesus talks into fasting, he says, "When you fast." This is not if you fast. Fasting is something that Jesus did. And he expects his apprentices, his followers, us, to do so as well. In fact, alongside the regular fasting days in the Jewish calendar, we see that biblically strict Pharisees fasted for 2 days a week. The issue was that they made sure that everybody knew they were fasting. And this is why Jesus is saying, when you fast, don't make a big deal of it. Don't make it out like you're more spiritual than everybody else because you are fasting and they're not and they're wrong and you're right. Don't disfigure your face. See, common practice was for those that were fasting to make it obvious they would cover their head or smear ash on their face just so people knew that they were fasting. Jesus says, no, don't do that. Put a smile on. Even though it might be hard, you might be struggling in your fast, put some makeup on if you need to. Style your hair, put some product in your hair. Jesus is saying, don't let these practices become hypocrisy. Fasting is a sign of humility before God, not an occasion for self-promotion or to show how spiritual we are. Fasting is the place we start to see just what we depend upon. When I fast, all I want to do is eat. It's like food becomes the most interesting thing on the planet, and all I can do to think about is food. But as we say no to food, it starts to loosen our grip. And we are no longer being led by our wants and our desires. The Bible calls it dying to self. So the idea of self-promotion is totally opposed to the purpose of fasting, which is about dying to ourselves and stopping those desires that lead us and pull us away. As you've just read in your groups, Paul, when he writes to the young Timothy, urges him to train himself in godliness. You know, these practices, these spiritual formations, they are the exercise that leads to being a fitter follower of Jesus. Not just because fasting means that you're not going to eat so much, so we end up losing some weight. That's not the focus of it. But because as we journey with these practices, it's like training for a marathon. To start with, you don't go out and run the 26.2 miles. It seems impossible, but you train towards it. You don't start setting out thinking, right, let's go for it. Come on, let's run and start a sprint and go for it. You train, you start smaller, then you add in distance. Sometimes like you feel like you could go a little bit further, but oftentimes it feels like a really hard slog. Some days it's really easy, other days it's really hard. Some days you fail to get out the front door, but you don't give up. You're in training. That's exactly what fasting is about. There are days where you might feel like, yeah, I can do this. But then partway through your fasting, you might feel like, I can't cope. I need something to eat. Well, that's okay. You're in training. So whatever you do that day, next time you come to do it again, how about you go a little bit further? We're training ourselves in godliness and we're causing our flesh to die, so we're no longer subject to our wants and our desires, but to God. Now, someone I know has practiced this regularly for a long period of time is one of our elders, David. And so I'm going to have a conversation with him now about fasting in his life, practically what that looks like and the impact it has upon him. So enjoy this conversation. Well, it's great to be here today with David, one of our elders, and I just want to speak to him about fasting. I know fasting has been part of his life for some time, and so I thought, the minute I thought of fasting, I thought of David. So, David, I just wondered if you could help us by telling us your story of fasting, of when it started for you and why.
Do you know, I can't even remember the first time I fasted, because for me it's been quite a journey of realizing eventually, at some point in time, I realized that I needed to fast, because as I'd looked into the Bible, I first saw the first thing for me was that Jesus did it. And it wasn't a point of fact that he'd said, if you want to fast, he'd said, when you fast. So I thought, oh, I've got to do it. So from there, I started to look into the process of what does fasting mean. I looked at loads of scriptures. And then really, I fasted more or less according to my situation at the time, whether with I was looking after my wife at the time, full time. Latterly, obviously, it's come to the fore because now I'm retired, I'm on my own, I'm in lockdown, so it's changing again. But the whole process of fasting for me was a journey. It was a journey of looking into the Bible, what I should be doing according to the scriptures, and that's gradually how it worked with me.
I love that. I love that you are using that spiritual discipline for where you are in life. It's not like it's a pressure to have to do something all the time. It actually reshape it for where we are in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of fasting is Jesus said that it's all about motive. He talked about the Pharisees and their wrong motives. So the motive has to be right. It's no good doing it as a ritual or a tradition. It has to be for what God's purpose is. And so this was the journey I went on from there. It needs to be, for me, a fast with intention, in the sense that when I fast nowadays, I tend to come with a really quite a confident expectancy, which pretty well always allows me to sense God's presence with me. And also, as I come away, it's with a better sense in the quietness, in the time I've fasted and spent with him, of his holiness. Mm. And that, fortunately or unfortunately, comes on to us. And we suddenly realize we need to be in closer obedience with him.
Great, that's really good, David. Well, just wondering, you know, you talk about this journey that you've been on with fasting. What does it look like for you now? And how, you know, obviously you've journeyed with that. You may have built up to how you're fasting now, but what does it look like right now?
Right now, it tends to be just one day a week. It's been 2 days a week, I think. I know with you, John, where we've always fasted in January, haven't we?
Yes.
And for you, it was always a Daniel fast. For me, because I've been vegan now for pretty well for 4 years, that's more of the same. So obviously, mine's got to, fasting to me is total abstinence from food, but with lots of fluids. I know there were Bible stuff where Moses 40 days didn't eat or drink, but I see, not sure, but in the Bible, when Jesus went into the wilderness, we learn after that he was hungry, but it doesn't say he was thirsty. So I'm presuming he drank, and I certainly think, unless it's a total supernatural fast, and I know those things can happen, then we need to be careful about how we do it.
So what's the impact been for you on fasting, on your own life? You know, you said earlier on that there's different reasons, there's an intention behind it. Yeah. What have you seen happen in and through your life personally, but also, Matt, perhaps in circumstances and situations around you when you have fasted?
For me, it makes a total difference to my life, in the sense that when I fasted, I've got a clearer picture of who I am, where I am with God, what his plan and purpose is for me. And it's just a means for me of being further in touch with God, that I know exactly who I am, where I am. Yes, obviously, the main reason for fasting is not for ourselves in one sense. It's to make a difference, whether it be with our friends, with a town, a nation, whatever. And that's another part of fasting which makes a vast difference. And that also I learnt in scripture, that, you know, I saw in Ezekiel at one stage, and it's something, first I thought, whoa, you know, and where he says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore, I poured out my indignation on them. Wow, is that the difference I can make as one person? You know? So there's all different aspects to look at. For me, because I've always been a chef, I suppose, had I been something like a lorry driver, you know, you have your days off, you're not going to start thinking about lorries or where you're delivering to. But for me, because being a chef is a passion, whether I'm cooking for others or just going in for my breakfast or whatever, I'm always thinking, oh, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. And in a sense, it's time wasting. So when I fast, I find it's an absolute joy. I look forward to it because I can park that part of me there, come with God and be totally free of all the thoughts of what I'm going to do with this food, how I'm going to cook that. And I find it very easy to fast. That's just me, because I eat well anyway, but coming into the fasting part, I just find it never a problem.
Mm,
That's really encouraging, David. Thank you. I just wondered, just to bring things to a close in the conversation, how would you suggest that our church community, maybe some have kind of done a little bit of fasting, maybe for some they may never have even approached fasting. How would you suggest people start? Where should we start?
I think we've got to be sensible about it. Obviously, for some people, they shouldn't be fasting because of medical problems. Given that, apart from that, I think they should take it to God. I think that they should start slowly. I think they should start, why are they fasting? The motive is important. Is it for to clarify something in their own life, or are they fasting for something else, to ask God to do something? These are all important questions. Once you've got your motive clear, then perhaps it can be, well, I think you said in the past, it's not always about skipping food. Sometimes it can be skipping media stuff, switching your phone off, all kinds of stuff. But in general, pretty well always, biblical fasting is doing without food. And so I would say start with one meal or two meals. It depends on your lifestyle and what responsibilities you've got at the time, and gradually build it up from there. Have a look at the scriptures about fasting. You know, the older ones of us always quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, it's conditional, called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves. We're told that in those days, humbling themselves was always doing without food, abstaining, and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways of not doing, not being involved. Then he said, it's a promise, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. You know, what's not to like about that?
Amazing promise.
So, yeah, there's so many positives about fasting. If you look at the promises of God, you see there are so many. So in the end, you think, well, if I don't do it, am I content to remain this side of God's purpose for me? So, you know, I think people will grow with it. Don't overdo it to start with.
Brilliant. David, that's great advice. Thank you. And thank you for the conversation. I know that as we go into discussion right now in our groups, there's going to be so much for people to unpack and so much to discuss. But thank you for your time and thank you for your wisdom.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.